As a business owner, it's important to keep your business connected. Spectrum Business is committed to keeping your business online whenever and wherever you need us, all backed by the Spectrum Commitment. Get fast, reliable internet starting at $40 per month when bundled, or level up your internet speed and get a 3-year price guarantee. Learn how Spectrum Business can help your business stay connected at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus Tax, for a limited time and subject to change. Max one offer per account.
This is Issues 2022. I'm Steve McIntosh, and our guest is Sedgwick County Director of Emergency Medical Services, Kevin Landerman. Hey, welcome to Issues 2022. Nice to have you with us today.
Thank you, Steve. Glad to be with you.
You were recently named director after serving as interim director. Tell us about your career with Sedgwick County EMS. How far back does it go, Kevin?
My career at Sedgwick County started in April of 1992. Actually started in February part-time, but I started full-time in February of 1992. So it goes back a while. I moved up in the ranks as lieutenant, captain, and before I got moved into the interim director role, I was a field supervisor as a shift commander. And then I, like you said, I came into the interim role in August of 2021, and in June of this year, I was named the permanent EMS chief. So,
now, did you work anywhere else before you started on Sedgwick County?
I did. I worked actually for 4.5 years at Butler County EMS.
Oh, okay.
My brother worked here at Sedgwick County EMS, and they had a fairly strict nepotism policy, so. I worked at Butler County EMS for 4.5 years. That's where I worked when I got my paramedic certificate. And then after my brother moved on to nurse anesthesiology, I came over to Sedgwick County, and I've been here ever since. So
I'm assuming that you grew up in Wichita. Is that correct?
That is correct. Okay. I grew up in Wichita. Attended Wichita schools, graduated from Northwest High School, went to Butler County, played baseball. That's where I took my EMT class. And then I started working for Butler County EMS in 1988.
So let me ask you this. Why did you decide then to apply for the top job?
So as everybody may know, I was placed in the interim role. The position was opened initially. Like I told people, I came from a field supervisor position to the director's job. And in all honesty, I wasn't sure when it opened the first time if this is something I want to do long term. I'd always liked working in the streets and never really even contemplated being in the office and not even to mention, you know, running the department. The initial process, they didn't find apparently what they wanted in a candidate initially. So when it opened up again, I'd talked to my wife and family, and I kind of thought that maybe I could do some some good for this service. Like I said, I've grown up in this service. This, besides EMS being my passion, this service has been my home, obviously, for a long, long time. And I care very deeply about this service and what happens with this service. And so after some deliberation with my wife and family, I decided to go ahead and apply the second time it opened. And I was fortunate and very honored to be given this opportunity to be in this permanent role. So
that sounds like a natural transition from somebody who you get hooked on it gets into your blood to going out and helping people, and you want to go where you can do the best job, I guess. And looks like
that's correct. And I still miss going out, and there's still, you know, if something happens on the way into work or after hours, the crews can expect to see me out there. I still running calls. I went out a few weeks ago one night. My kids that are at home were at their grandparents and didn't have anything to do, so went out and ran calls one Saturday night till about 2 o'clock in the morning. So still like getting out and seeing the crews and running calls, and I don't get to do that as much as I'd like. Obviously, with the role I'm in, there's a lot of other things that I need to pay attention to and do. But I still, every opportunity I get, I like getting out and running calls and seeing not only our crews but taking care of patients. So
give us an idea of your current job now. Do you have a job description, or can you knuckle it down to or narrow it down to just a pretty small statement on how it sounds like a pretty big job? What's the description?
Well, it is, but I'm ultimately responsible for our department. Make decisions about financial decisions, look at the budget, and that's a big change for me, not of being in here, but luckily I have great people around me that help with that. I look at ways we can improve, things that we can work on in the future. I get that question asked a lot, you know, about what the future holds, and we have ideas and things we want to do, but right now our main goal is to try to increase our staffing levels, get our employees feel valued and get their work-life balance as good as it can get, and really take care of our patients and run those emergency 911 calls well, and that's our main focus right now, and that's kind of what I do on a daily basis is figure out ways that we can do that, and once we start taking care of our primary goal of taking care of patients, those 911 calls, then there are other things in EMS that we can, you know, expand on, but sure. That's kind of our what we're doing right now. So
how many employees actually fall under your supervision then?
Oh, I believe our staff table is 205. Yeah. We have 140 full-time. So it's not a huge department. It is the largest in Kansas. And that's field personnel and office staff and things like that.
How many vehicles do you operate? How many ambulances?
At peak times, our staffing is 19. We have 13 that are 24 hours, and then we have 6 ambulances that come on during peak times of the day.
So what is your annual budget then, Kevin?
Around $21 million, and about 75% of that, we're kind of unique in other departments in the county that a lot of our budget is about 75% is user fees, and the rest is from tax base. So
I don't, a lot of people may not realize that when you take an ambulance ride, I presume even if it's an emergency, there's going to be a fee charged somewhere, probably, right?
There is, and we, you know, that's a huge part of our department is our billing and our compliance, that we're complying with all the Medicare regulations, things like that, because Medicare is obviously our biggest biller, but I mean, private insurance also. But I think that's something that a lot of people don't realize, that it takes a lot of good people to run this organization, and that's just one part of it is our billing and finance department, where because without those revenues, we wouldn't be able to provide this service at such a low tax base if we didn't have those revenues coming in. So,
you know, the COVID pandemic has had a huge impact on healthcare and healthcare workers. I'm sure you're well aware of that. Well, what would you summarize would be the impact on EMS? Did you have a lot of your people go down? How did that go?
Well, we had the impact just in general of staffing. We were short staffing before the pandemic hit, and that didn't make it any easier. I mean, people weren't flocking into healthcare related fields with the pandemic. You saw it in not only EMS but nursing, you know, things like that, hospital related fields. So filling those positions was difficult. And then just we had surges where we'd have employees. Multiple employees that were off, you know, obviously quarantining with the pandemic. I believe the surge this January was actually our worst month of having people off with COVID. And you know, you have 10, 12 people off, and you know they're going to be off for, you know, 10 days with quarantining, things like that. It made staffing difficult, but we had other people that stepped up. We had other people that would come in, work overtime. We had some of our office staff filling trucks, doing things like that. We did whatever we could do to maintain staffing as best we could.
And, you know, if you listen to, we listen to the scanner here in the newsroom, and we hear the 911 dispatches, and For a while there, I don't know, several months, the dispatcher would actually send out a code that would tell your EMTs this person that you're picking up may have the COVID, right?
That's correct. But you know, it got to a point where, you know, we were using your universal precautions on everybody.
Oh, yeah.
Even the ones that weren't. Didn't have the symptoms given to dispatch there for a while. You just kind of assumed that, you know, everybody was a potential carrier of it. So we just used the universal precautions, which we still do to a certain extent on certain patients. And we're always, you know, using those universal precautions whenever appropriate. So
you're listening to Issues 2022 on the Odyssey radio stations, and our guest is Sedgwick County Director of Emergency Medical Services, Kevin Lannerman. You know, you took over EMS after, I would say, some pretty negative reports about morale and among other things. Have you been able to get a handle on those concerns, Kevin?
I'd like to think that our staff, we've tried to, like I said, our main goal, or my main goal is to was increase morale, increase, you know, communication with our field level employees. We started having town hall meetings where we could meet directly with the field level providers, hear their needs, concerns. Obviously, we can't implement everything we would like, but we sure try to implement things that will make their job satisfaction better, because I firmly believe that, you know, if our employees are well taken care of and they feel valued, that they'll in turn take care of our patients better. So if that's been our goal, and you know, I think from what I hear that people are happier. They're still busy. I'll be honest with you. It's still our call volume isn't decreasing, and so they're still busy. They're still running lots of calls. I mean, we have crews that will come on that begin a shift and maybe have time to check their ambulance and before they start running calls, and then they're pretty much gone away from their post, if not all, a majority of their shift, and that may or may not include eating lunch or, you know, dinner or whatever time a shift it is. Mm-hmm. And then at the end of the shift, they still are responsible for, you know, doing all the patient care reports, all the paperwork things that before they get to go home. So that's some of the things that, you know, we're working on to try to improve. And luckily we have great staff here, and we have a lot of people don't get into this field usually because, you know, obviously they don't get into for the money or things like that. They get in it because they want to take care of people and help people. And through all this, I can assure the listeners that that's continued despite what they may have heard previously on any reports or any news reports that, our people are there to take care of those in need, and that's always our goal and our number one focus.
Yeah, you know, we hear about response times for police and fire and ambulance. Now, if I have an emergency, how quickly can I see a first responder from EMS at my door? I'm sure that kind of depends on what the emergency is, doesn't it, Kevin?
It depends on what the emergency is and obviously where you're calling from within Sedgwick County. We do use priority dispatch, so the dispatch center will take the information and put it through a program, and it gives us a priority, and depending on what that priority is, we may or may not respond to emergency traffic with our red lights and sirens on. So that we get a lot of calls of people that it took a long time for EMS to get there, and then we go back and look, and it was a lower priority call where, you know, we didn't respond red lights and sirens. That doesn't mean we're not, you know, responding right away, but obviously responding red lights and sirens increases, you know, the chance of us getting an accident and injuring other people. And that's going to further delay getting to the patient. But so there's a lot of variabilities. Our goal right now is, you know, 10 minutes and 59 seconds or 11 minutes to get to patients on emergency calls. There is your callers can or your listeners can look on the Sedgwick County webpage and go to the EMS page. We have a very robust dashboard there. Our chief data officer has done a great job with this dashboard. And you can look and see exactly what our response times are for the whole county. If you want to narrow it down to different cities within the county, you can look and see what our response times are, type of calls. There's just a lot of information on that dashboard at SedgwickCounty.org /EMS. So,
good place to check.
We get that question a lot, and I always refer people to that dashboard because it can give them. And we're trying to be as open and transparent as we can. And, you know, if our response times aren't great, we're going to show it. So,
you know, over the years, the ambulance itself has evolved. If you remember, when it's pretty much a station wagon, a big station wagon with a quick car ride, and now it's almost a fully equipped emergency room on wheels. Is that correct?
Yes. And it, you know, our goal is still, you know, transport, you know, to the hospital, but it is, we're going to do emergency life-saving care at the scene and in the back of the ambulance en route to the hospital. It's much, much more than just a ride in an ambulance. And I think that's a lot of people. And we get that, why aren't you going? Just go. It's like, well, that is our goal, but there are things that we can and should do to give good patient care before we start transporting to a hospital. So it has evolved, and it's still evolving. It's evolved a lot since I've started in this field.
Well, and all of those improvements mean that you can't have any put any numbers on it, but obviously there's a lot of lives that have been saved just because you all are up to date on your technical part.
I you're right. I don't know how you get those numbers, but I would say yes, and it's always changing. So our education, our training is always evolving. I mean, it's medicine, so medicine changes. Doctors aren't prescribing or doing the same things they were, 10, 15 years ago, and neither are we. New science comes up. There's new medications, new treatments, and we work with our Office of the Medical Director and try to stay as current on all those treatments and medications that we can. So
you mentioned this before, and you're probably facing the same thing that almost everybody is right now, and that's finding enough qualified people, applicants. Are you getting people coming through the door? Do you need more? Or are you always going to need more, you think?
We're always going to need people. I mean, we always have. When I started here years ago, you didn't start full time. You started part time, and because there weren't openings, and you might be lucky enough to get hired full time, and that's hopefully where we will get again. But right now, we are still looking for paramedics. It's better that the colleges. Obviously, that was one thing that COVID impacted. Also, was the colleges didn't have people enrolling in, like I said, health related fields. Paramedic was one of them, and so the class sizes were very small. So there weren't a lot of paramedics for us to even hire. That is getting better. Their sizes are getting larger. We actually Sedgwick County and our Board of County Commissioners adopted or approved our emergency medical technician, our EMT to paramedic program that we currently have. We're actually taking our full-time EMTs and putting them through a paramedic course while they're still working full-time for us, giving them the time off to go to class, to do their clinicals and do their field internship, but they're still getting paid, still getting the benefits. And, so we'll actually graduate our first three from the initial program this December. So we're looking forward to that. We have some more that will graduate early next year from a different program. And we're getting ready to start another class in January. So we're doing what we can to actually grow our own from within. We're hiring EMTs and putting them through paramedic class. So that's one thing that's changed that I think will really help, and we'll have that hopefully pipeline of paramedics that are familiar with our organization as EMTs, get their get some experience taking care of patients as EMTs, and then we put them through paramedic class and keep them hopefully for a long time. They hopefully like it here, and they'll stay for a long period of time. So
it's obvious from our conversation that you came up through the ranks. You loved being out on the street, but you got this top job now. And I'm going to ask you what do you like the most about your new job, Kevin?
Oh gosh, I really enjoy talking to people. I think I enjoy talking about our service. I get to talk about our service more. I've gone around to different cities within the county. Went to some of the citizen advisory boards. I'm going to go speak next week to League of Women Voters, and I get to tell our citizens, our people, that you have a top-notch EMS service here. I like talking about it. it's going to get better. That's our goal. We're always looking to get better, but that you have a good service here, that values taking care of patients, being there, and I think that's the thing I enjoy the most is getting to talk about the wonderful people here and the great service that we have.
Well, Kevin, I'm going to cut you off there because we're out of time, but thank you for being with us, and best of luck to you in that new job. Our guest, Sedgwick County Director of Emergency Medical Services, Kevin Lannerman. That's all for this edition of Issues 2022. We'll be back next week. Thank you for listening. I'm Steve McIntosh.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.